just begun after 10,000 years. What a wonderful thought. Amen. Wonderful song. Appreciate that, Brother and Sister Price. Choir, thank you very much for your singing this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning for the very first time, thank you so much for being with us. We're glad that you're here. We hope that you'll have a wonderful time here worshiping the Lord with us. If you're a returning visitor, thank you for giving the confidence to us to come back and worship again with us. We're so glad that you're here. Don't forget that we have our fall invitation tracts out. They're on the front row here, some back here in the back. We actually have a visitor here this morning who received an invitation from our outreach door-to-door, and we thank her for being with us as well. And anybody else that's here, thank you so much. And the men's prayer breakfast was a wonderful event yesterday morning. Glad that those that came out and was part of that, I trust the rest of you will be involved next time we have it, and enjoy the fellowship. It was a good time of fellowship, and the men did a great job cooking and cleaning up afterwards. And then we went out and made some visits in our neighborhood, door to door, and was able to get out a lot of tracts. I think we had 11 teams that went out, two yesterday, so that was a good turnout on that, and that's how it's going to work, going into all the world and getting the message of Christ out and starting right here in our neighborhood and getting folks acquainted with our church, and glad that y'all came out and did that. Now, we're going to finish up our series today on enemies of the home. We'll be in 1 John chapter number 2. This will be our last sermon on enemies in the home. We've done a sermon all every Sunday in the month of September, 1 John chapter 2. I was a little worried this morning. I was watching the Tennessee and the Florida game, and I know that we have some Florida Gator fans here. And y'all were not going to make church this morning. I know if y'all had lost. So I pray, Lord, let that guy miss that field goal. Please, Lord, I want our folks here at church. I don't want them home mourning the Gators lost. So I'm thrilled that y'all are here. Thank y'all so much for coming. And if y'all call that a win, it's a win. That's just how it works. UCF, Carrie, did they make it? Does anybody know if UCF won? Or was it their bye week? They lost. By what? Three? Let's preach. Carrie cannot take it if I would talk about that anymore. And we know the Seminoles are okay. They didn't play. So everybody's all right. Miami. No Miami fans here today. That's good. All right. 1 John, thank you for visiting with us. We're glad you're here. We're going to finish up this here thought this morning. Enemies of the home. And today we're going to talk about misplaced priorities. Defeating the enemy of misplaced priorities. One of the greatest challenges that we have in our Christian life is to maintaining proper and right priorities. And so we want to look at that this morning and understand that long before there's ever any major spiritual defeat or family destructions and breakups, dear friend, I'll tell you, it comes about through Satan's attempt to get Christians to misplace or to place higher priority on the things of this world and the standards of success that this world puts out than it does on loving God and loving each other and serving God and keeping ourselves focused in line with the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, if you would, we'll read down to verse number 17. 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doth the will of God abideth forever. Now this is why John was able to write this under the Holy Spirit of God. He understood John 3:16. He understood this here chapter and what the Holy Spirit of God was writing. For God so loved the world. And you say, okay, preacher, God loved the world. And right here it says, love not the world. It's kind of a contradictory in the Bible there. No, it's really not, because if you understand the context of the Scripture, John 3:16, God's talking about the people of the world. And then through this here, as you read it and follow along with it, you understand that what God is talking about is the arrangement of the system values, or values of system that's here in the world. And the values are in great opposition to God. Now, the basic priorities of this world are in a total opposition to God and and the Word of God. And so as we look at that and we follow along with that, we understand that. Go with me to John. In verse 15 it says, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it kind of brings a thought to my mind about when Jesus entered into the temple. And as he began to make a scourge there of small cords, the Bible says he drove those people out there in the Gospels of the temple. And he drove the sheep out and the oxen, and he poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables there. What had happened was the people, which God loved, had bought into the system of the world that, hey, even the things of God can be bought. Listen, salvation cannot be bought. It was paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You cannot earn it through giving of your talents, of your finances, of yourself to a church, or becoming a member of a church does not make you a child of God. You have to understand something, that it is not by works of righteousness which you have done, but it's according to the mercies of God that you are saved. And so the people and the things and the avenue that God had chosen, the local church, to bring forth the message of Christ, they had started to bring in money changers, bringing in sacrifices. So what would happen was, a man would show up, he would maybe rent a table from a priest along the way and pay a little bit of money, put another table over here, and they would bring in some turtle doves, they'd bring in some sheep, and instead of you bringing your offering from the house, from your flock, you would just go there and simply purchase it. It would just be convenience. You know, many people come to church out of convenience. Many people will become Christians, quote, quote, out of convenience. Well, give me an example. Well, let's take it like this. There's a young man and a young woman. The young man is interested in the young woman. The young woman is a child of God. She's faithful to church. She's loving the Lord, and she's serving in the church. And the young man has interest in her. And he quickly understands and realizes that, hey, if I want to have an opportunity with her, I need to get on the same sheet of music in this religious thing. So he becomes religious. I mean, he starts opening up his songbook. He starts singing the songs, and he has no idea what they're meaning or what they're saying. He even takes a time to go, and he gets him a Bible, brings the Bible there, and yet even when he's away, he doesn't read it, doesn't study it. He even presents himself to be, wanting to be involved in the things of the church. And then, he gains her attention through convenience. So the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. And so she falls heads over heels over him, or vice versa. It can work both ways. Listen, young ladies are not they're not incapable of doing the same tricks. And so they do it their way, and they gain his attention before long things proceed. And they say, I do, and they're married. And before long, they realize that they have no common beliefs, because it was out of convenience instead of out of the love of God and for the love of God. And so some people become religious out of convenience. You know, I've met in my walk with the Lord and pastoring here, especially, you know, while I was over in Greece, it wasn't as part of the culture there to come. But sometimes people may need help, financially. Maybe they lose a job, maybe they have an unexpected bill or something like that. They come, never been to church, never been part of a church, doesn't have no need for church, then all of a sudden their light bill needs to be done. They call the church and say, you know, Pastor, could you help me? Well, you know, we have a lot of folks here at the church and they're struggling too, so we're helping them. Next thing you know, they show up and say, hey, I want to be part of your church. And they come to service the two, and then they say, hey, matter of fact, you know, I'm part of the church now. Would you mind helping us with our electric bill? And they become conveniently connected to a church because of that. Now listen, people need help time to time. But I think you ought to be involved before you need help. I think you ought to be part of what's going on here at the things of God. And, you know, be cared for by God's people like you should. Now, there are times that we do help folks outside of the church. They don't even have to come. Got a little bit of squeal there. They don't even have to come to get the help. I'm not saying that it's a prerequisite. What I'm saying is don't use the things of God for your convenience. Let the God of heaven be your God all the time. Let the God of heaven be part of your life constantly. Let your life be conformed to the things of God, so that whenever there is that difficult hour, God's hand involved in your life, you recognize it quickly, not just sporadically. Love not the things of this world. Don't do it for convenience sake. You know, the Bible says there in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 19, the Bible says there, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. I think we can agree with that scripture, couldn't we? I mean, look around us. It just seems like everything around us is lying in wickedness. And so when we are involved with the things of the world and we are conforming ourselves to the thing of the world, that's why Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we're talking about misplaced priorities, and in order to understand if our priorities are misplaced or not, dear friend, we've got to get to the point where we really understand what the Scripture is talking about. Yes, God loved the world and gave Himself for it. Yes, God gave His only begotten Son. Well, that's the people. But it's the system around the world that is created by the prince and power of the air that we are falling head over heels in our society today. As far as we can, we run as far as we can away from God. And we grasp anything out there that's psychological, that's that of philosophy or laid out by academia, and we just buy into it head over heels. How many of you ever heard this here pop song, We Are the World? What is it, back in the 70s or something? 80s? We are the world. You know, that should not be the Christian song. The Christian song, dear friends, should say, oh, ought to be like this. This world is not my home. And there's got to be a difference. And that's why the passage here says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, the trouble we come to in our homes and in our life is when we place priorities on the world's evaluation and the world's values over God's Word. Now, let's notice three things here in this passage and we'll be done. I know it's NFL Sunday and you want to get home real quick and you want to watch somebody play football, but pay attention with me closely right here, because listen, the enemy of the home is misplaced priorities. Number one, we notice there in our verse, as we read it in verse number 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. There's many times that we place physical pleasure over spiritual growth. Physical pleasure over spiritual growth. And that's the lust of the flesh. That's a tool of Satan. Now listen, lust is an inordinate desire or craving for something. And many of you, perhaps have, not many of you, but half of you, I guess, some of you ladies have had cravings during pregnancies. Some odd things, like pickles and peanut butter. You have to have it. I remember one time my wife had a craving for, when she was pregnant, it was for Bojangles mashed potatoes and gravy, and just had to get some mashed potatoes and gravy from Bojangles, and so forth. So you have these cravings, which are there, and there are cravings that are in our body that are put there by God, but they have their place. They have their place, and they have to be kept in their place. Now, Satan is the master of exploiting the normal physical needs into some craving, and his goal is that we would place priority over the bodily pleasure than over the spiritual growth. Listen, there is a sexual exploitation going on in our society. The Bible talks about it. Marriage bed is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. A physical relationship is intended by God to be enjoyed. Ooh, preaching. You talking about that S word in church? Your kids have been learning about it from school kids and teachers since the third grade here lately. Why not take the Bible and show them what God says about it? Help them to understand that it is part of what God has placed into you, but through media, whatever it may be, I mean, some of these games that they're playing, they should not be rated mature. They should be rated X. Because it shows stuff that is so explicit, and it creates a craving or a desire, and Satan turns normal loving intimacy into something that's perverted. And he uses that, the lust of the flesh, and says, well, I can't help myself. You can't help yourself. The reason is because you are caught up in the world system. Your priorities are misplaced. Your priority is on fulfilling the lust of the flesh and not spiritual growth. So sexual exploitation in the state of Illinois. The Department of Natural Resources reports that more than 17,000 deer die annually by being struck by a car or truck during the fall. They come to realize and to figure out that the reason why is because the bucks are in rut. And it contradicts their normal life. I mean, it's all predicated on the desire by these buck deer to reproduce and their reproductive activities. And they become less cautious than they normally would. Normally they'd be nocturnal. Normally they'd be hiding off in a swamp or in a backwoods somewhere. Well, may I say to you today that deer are not the only ones that are driven by sexual exploitation or desire for reproduction. Deer are not the only ones that are destroyed or preoccupied by sex. Sex is to be used in the marriage sitting alone. Enemy of the home. Number two reason of lust of the flesh is something called music. I'm going to talk about preferences, and I'm talking about styles. Let's just get along with the words. What do y'all call them? Lyrics? But if I'm going to be honest with you, that if there are songs that you're listening to that are contradictory to the Word of God, that is the song that needs to be cut off. I don't care if it is religious or contemporary, or gospel, or rap, or country, or Led Zeppelin, metallic. It doesn't matter. When the words are contradictory to the Bible, that is something that needs to be changed. Oh, well, James, I meddled again, didn't I? I'm just telling you, dear friend, we're talking about misplaced priorities. And I'm just going to help you out just a little bit. down at the creek, dancing around in a bikini, rubbing together with a little bit of Dixie cup, it ain't pointing you to spiritual growth. I'm not talking about preferences. I'm not talking about styles. There's plenty of different styles. Listen, I understand something. Music has evolved from a long time ago, and music is from God. God's a God of music. So I'm not talking about your style. Don't cut me off because of your style. I'm not talking about style. Let's stick strictly with the words. Look at the words. And if the words are contrary to the Word of God, and they're creating a lust in your body for things that are not supposed to be used outside of a certain city, your priorities are messed up. Misplaced priorities. You wonder why there's no spiritual growth? Misplaced priorities. You wonder why there's no walk with the Lord, no intimacy with the Lord, why there's no relationship with Christ? Because your priorities are misplaced. Oh, here's a good one. I threw this one in just to help out you that are mad at me right now. I can't believe he's talking about sex at church. What's wrong with him? What? Music now? Here's one to help you out, get you back in uniform, get yourself settled down, calm your nerves. How about overindulge some food? Listen, the Bible talks about Proverbs because I knew that's what you're going to say. He don't preach about overeating, just our music and our sex. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:2, that put a knife to thy throat if thou art be a man given to appetite. That's what the Bible says. Why am I desiring to eat like this? Because of the lust of the flesh. I just helped you out there just to make you sure that I'm covering everybody in here. Because some of you young teenagers and some of you young adults are saying, preachers, they're 8 years old. They're not even involved in that anymore. You're just picking on us because we're young. Really? I'm just trying to help you out because the Bible is relevant and it is authoritative and it is absolute for today. Amen. And we're talking about these misplaced priorities. I'm not even covering alcohol and drugs and all that. I'm talking about the lust of the flesh, and your flesh will drive you to do things. And that's what the Bible says, verse 16. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh. Giving into fleshly priorities, dear friend, does not profit you spiritually at all. Not at all. You cannot build a godly home or a godly relationship when physical pleasure alone is your drive. Nor entertainment. And we are a society that is full of entertainment. But it didn't stop there in verse 16, did it? Lust of the flesh, and what's the next one? The lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. Mark 8:36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You know, the eyes, the gateway to the mind. Whenever you look at things, I mean, just filters in, comes in, lust of the eyes. Listen, a man whose mind is so full of materialism, dear friend, there's no way he can see the spiritual things of God. No way. What's the problem? He loves materialism more than he loves the things of God. Listen, this here's funny. I'm going to help you out if you're spiritual. And you tell your friends like this. So I knew our preacher was crazy, but after today I know he's crazy. How many of you ever heard somebody say this? I don't like going to church because all they do is preach and teach on money. How many? Amen. Just say amen. Amen. This is the crazy thing. That same person has no problem at all spending $500 a night at a resort to be entertained on. That's no problem. This sermon's not about money. I'm just trying to get a point across. I'm not going to preach on money today, but I think about Achan in Joshua chapter number 7, verse number 21. The Bible says, "When I saw among the spoils a godly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels of weight, then I what? Coveted them. I saw them, I coveted them, and I took them." And I tell you about Achan, his sin cost him his life, and not only his life, but his family's life. Because he saw, and he took, and he coveted. Isn't it amazing something? He did not even need it until he saw it. He did not have a need for it, but he wanted it after he saw it. What do you think these commercials are doing to us? They understand what listen. They know you broke. They know right now that you have borrowed money from credit cards and A.M. Scott and you've borrowed yourself so you have to continually rob from Paul to steal from Peter. Peter steal from Paul. Whatever Peter did to Paul, you have to steal Peter's money to pay Paul. Y'all get all that? Because I didn't. I hope we can edit that one out. Good Lord, that was a tongue-tied bit there. But they don't care. They continually send you credit card invitations, knowing that you just did bankruptcy. They continue offering you sales, so you'll take and get involved in this. And they show you these pictures and they show you these things. Why do you think they have all those candy things up there at their cash register so you check out with your children? Because you done gave them a two-hour speech walking around Walmart about how their teeth is going to rot out if you buy that snack, that food, that sugar, too much sugar. You get to this cash register and they have 14 cash registers open out of 100, and you're standing in line with seven people in front of you. Your kid sees that, before long they're throwing a fit. They didn't want the candy until they saw it. Lust the eyes. Set your eyes upon things above. Set your eyes upon the things of God. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where much rust and doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." That's where we got to get to. Misplaced priorities. We're looking at things. Here's one, and I fell prey to it. Last month, we were going to the nursing home. I'm glad we're going to the nursing home today. Brother Mike and I was walking around in the cabin, and we were just looking. And I saw a yellow sign that caught my eye as I walked past. I said, "Wow, look at that. I wonder if that's a 243. Sure enough, it was a 243. And they had put it on sale. And sure enough, I left that there with it. But here's the thing. Over 2 years, I've been looking for one. Putting back a little bit here. Putting back a little bit there. Putting back a little bit here. And when I finally found it, it's mine. I don't owe MasterCard. I don't owe Visa. I don't owe Academy. You know what they tell me? We'll give you $50 more off that if you'll just open up a Academy card. I don't owe them. It's mine." And you're going to have to train your eye to set your things up on the Lord. Listen, that was a desire of my heart to have a 243. And all I had to do was wait. And you know I got a 243 for $260. And it's mine. Misplaced priorities. You know what could have happened 2 years ago? I could have got that thing. All I had to do was just open up a credit card. Misplaced priorities, church. We got to get back to the point and understand that as our eye affects us. It doesn't stop there, does it? Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the prime of life. A life boastful. Somebody that's a higher achiever. Somebody that's always dropping names. You ever met somebody that they know everybody? I mean, they know everybody. They know this congressman. They know this baseball player. They know this football player. They met this here college professor. And they're always dropping those names. It's something about knowing people. I'm going to tell you something. If you're more concerned about knowing people than knowing more about Jesus, your priorities are out of line. Your priorities are way out of whack. Got to keep up with the neighbor. Not only keeping up with the neighbor anymore, what are we doing? We've got to surpass the neighbor. Your neighbor may not even know your name. Can I ask you this? Does Jesus know your name? Does Jesus know your name? Is your name written down in heaven? It's not, it doesn't matter what society thinks. Don't be lifted up in pride because you know somebody or you're in this circle or you're in that circle. There was a guy that worked for Lockheed Martin some years ago. It was put out that he was about to retire. He was about 60-something years old. He was on the financial aid there and thing. And he was about to retire. And he put all of his savings into a home. Because he was going to retire right where he was at. And he was going to stay right there. It was a modest home. 5-bedroom, 3-car garage. But it had all the bells and whistles. And back then, it was back in the 80s. And he paid $351,000 for the house. Ended up that he could not retire, he had to sell the house for $240,000. You know what he said? The only reason I bought the house was so I could impress the managers, the other co-workers. The only reason, they had all on the cul-de-sac. Now I'm out of all that money, and the company has moved me, and I've got to sell my home because I've got to live somewhere else. The pride of life. Let me tell you something. Life will disappoint you. You might be thinking you're lifted up. And you might be thinking, I'll tell you, life will abuse you. I mean, it will abuse you. Life is full of vanities. If we allow it, pride lifts us up and we think, whoa, look at me. Look at what I've got. Look at all the things I've got. And when it's said and done, your life will be very disappointed if it's on the things of the earth and who you've impressed. We better get to the point where we try to impress God because we are accepted in the beloved, not in our neighbors. Here's something that may get a little close to home. There was a lady named Eve. She had a perfect husband. No laundry, no diapers. Her husband never had a bad day at work. She had a wonderful, great garden that she could walk around in. No weeds. Never rained. God just brought some dew up out of the ground every night. Sort of like a heavenly drip. She had no headaches, no backaches. One day, a beautiful day, there was a creature that come walking up. He began to speak with her. He said, I can give you a better life. Much better than God has given you. All you have to do is just eat this fruit. Go up into Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Verse number 6. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust the flesh. Lust the flesh. It was good for food. She saw it was good for the food. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. Lust the eyes. lusty eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Pride of life. It's the pride of life. The Bible says she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And you know the rest of the story. We don't have to wait for Paul. We don't have to wait to hear the rest of the story. We know the rest of the story because we're living part of the rest of the story, aren't we? If it was no different for her, what makes it think you're going to be different for you and I? I'm telling you, church, we need to help ourselves out of Satan's orchard. We need to understand something, that we're playing in his playground, and that he is a real devourer and thief that wants to destroy and kill and steal. And he's doing it by our priorities. He's doing it by our priorities. I have to have it now. I want it now. I desire it now. I'm better than they are now. Go back to our text. Back over in 1 John chapter 2, and we're done. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of. When you test things by this, you test things by these three phrases here in chapter 2, verse 16 of 1 John, dear friend, you understand something. It's either of the Father or it's of the world. And when it's of the world, you have to leave it alone. Get away with it. Get away from it. Verse 17, the world passed away and lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Misplaced priorities. It's an enemy. It will destroy you. Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Early in the message, I talked about knowing Christ in a personal, free pardon way, justified by Him, by faith. Maybe today you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never realized that you're a sinner before God and you need Christ. Listen, our church can't get you to heaven. No words that I have spoken outside of Scripture can give you the pathway. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Perhaps this morning, if you're lost, won't you meet me down here in front? Let us show you the Word of God and how you know you can have eternal life. Maybe your priorities are a little bit out of whack. Won't you come and get them right to God? Spend some time with Him and say, Lord, help me to get my life back in track and in order with you.